Welcome to day 196 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. I'm broadcasting to you from the beautiful nation of Tanzania in the shadow of Mount Kilimanjaro here in East Africa. Today's reading will come from 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and 2 Kings chapters 16 and 17, and we are reading from the Amplified Bible today. Starting at 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began his 16-year reign in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord like David his forefather, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even made molten images for the Baals. And he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering after the abominable customs of the heathen nations whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God gave Ahaz into the power of the king of Syria, who defeated him and carried away a great multitude of the Jews as captives, taking them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hands of the king of Israel, who smote Judah with a great slaughter. For Pekah, son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, all courageous men, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, King Ahaz's son, and Azrikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the Israelites carried away captive 200,000 of their kinsmen of Judah, women, sons, and daughters, and also took much plunder from them and brought it to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out to meet the army that was returning to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he delivered them into your hand. But you have slain them in a fury that reaches up to heaven. And now you intend to suppress the people of Judah and Jerusalem, both men and women, as your slaves. But are not you yourselves guilty of crimes against your God? Now hear me, therefore, and set the prisoners free again, whom you have taken captive of your kinsmen, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Then certain of the heads of the Ephraimites, Israel, Azariah, son of Johanan, Berechiah, son of Meshilemoth, Jezekiah, son of Shalom, and Amasa, son of Hadlai, stood up against those returning from the war, and said, "You shall not bring the captives in here. We are guilty before the Lord already, and what you intend will add more to our sins and our guilt. For our trespass guilt is great, and there is fierce anger against Israel." So the armed men of Israel left the captives and the spoil of Judah before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who have been mentioned by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, and having clothed them, shod them, given them food and drink, anointed them, as was a host's duty, and carried all the feeble of them upon donkeys. They brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south, the Negeb, of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko, and also Timnah and Gimzo with their villages, and they settled there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for Ahaz had dealt with reckless cruelty against Judah, and had been faithless, had transgressed sorely against the Lord. So Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him without strengthening him. For Ahaz took treasure from the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and from the princes, and gave it as tribute to the king of Syria. But it did not help Ahaz. In the time of his distress, he became still more unfaithful to the Lord, this same King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him. For he said, "Since the gods of the kings of Syria help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz collected the utensils of the house of God and cut them in pieces. And he shut up the doors of the Lord's temple, the holy place, and the holy of holies, and made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In each city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods, provoking to anger the Lord, the God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and of all his ways, from first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Second Kings chapter 16, verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Ahaz, son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began his 16-year reign in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord his God like David his forefather, but he walked in the ways of Israel's kings, yes, and made his son pass through the fire and offered him as a sacrifice in accord with the abominable, idolatrous practices of the heathen nations whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites. He sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war. They besieged Ahaz, but could not conquer him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, got back Elath in Edom for Syria, and drove the Jews from it. The Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, "I am your servant and son. Come up and save me out of the hands of the kings of Syria and Israel, who are attacking me." And Ahaz took the silver and gold in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent a present to the king of Assyria. Assyria's king hearkened to him. He went up against Damascus, took it, carried its people captive to Kir, and slew. King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw there their heathen altar. King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest a model of the altar and an exact pattern for its construction. So Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus, finishing it before King Ahaz returned. When the king came from Damascus, he looked at the altar and offered on it. King Ahaz burned his burnt offering and his cereal offering, poured his drink offering, and dashed the blood of his peace offerings upon that altar. The bronze altar which was before the Lord he removed from the front of the house, from between his new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of his altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, upon the principal, the new altar, burn the morning burnt offering, the evening cereal offering, the king's burnt sacrifice and his cereal offering, with the burnt offering and cereal offering and drink offering of all the people of the land, and dash upon the new altar all the blood of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. But the old bronze altar shall be kept for me to use, to inquire by of the Lord. Urijah the priest did all this as King Ahaz commanded. To keep Assyria's king from getting them, King Ahaz cut off the panels of the bases of the 10 lavers and removed the laver from each of them. And he took down the sea from off the bronze oxen that were under it and put it upon stone supports. And the covered way for the Sabbath that they had built in the temple court and the king's outer entrance he removed from the house of the Lord because of the king of Assyria, who, if he heard of them, might seize them. The rest of the acts of Ahaz, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David. Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Chapter 17, verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, began his 9-year reign in Samaria over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as Israel's kings before him did. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and brought him tribute. But the king of Assyria found treachery in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria had him shut up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria invaded all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried the Israelites away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. This was so because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, from whom under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they feared other gods. The Israelites did secretly against the Lord their God things not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from lonely watchtower to populous fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and asherim, symbols of the goddess Asherah, on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, as did the nations whom the Lord carried away before them, and they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all the prophets and all the seers, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the new law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Yet they would not hear, but hardened their necks, as did their fathers, who did not believe, trust in, rely on, and remain steadfast to the Lord their God. They despised and rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his warnings to them. And they followed vanity, false gods, falsehood, emptiness, and futility. And they themselves and their prayers became false, empty, and futile. They went after the heathen round about them, of whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do as they did. And they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made for themselves molten images, even 2 calves, and made an Asherah, and worshipped at the starry hosts of the heavens, and served Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs which Israel introduced. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drew and drove Israel away from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the Israelites walked in all the sins Jeroboam committed, and they departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel from his sight, as he had foretold by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria to this day. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the Israelites. They possessed Samaria and dwelt in its cities. At the beginning of their dwelling there, they did not fear and revere the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So the king of Assyria was told, "The nations you removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the manner in which the God of the land requires their worship. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they are killing them, because they do not know the manner of worship demanded by the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear and revere the Lord. But every nationality still made gods of their own and put them in the shrines of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nationality in the city in which they dwelt. The men of Babylon made and worshipped their deity, Succoth Benoth. The men of Cuth made Nergal. The men of Hamath made Ashima. The Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, as did the nations from among whom they had been carried away. And to this day they do after their former custom. They do not fear the Lord as God sees it, neither do they obey the statutes or the ordinance or the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and commanded them, "You shall not fear other gods or bow yourselves to them or serve them or sacrifice to them. But you shall reverently fear, bow yourselves to, and sacrifice to the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm. And the statutes, ordinances, law, and commandment, which he wrote for you, you shall observe and do forevermore. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget. You shall not fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall reverently fear. Then he will deliver you out of the hands of all your enemies." However, they did not listen, but they did as they had done formerly. So these nations vainly feared the Lord, and also served their graven images, as did their children and their children's children. As their fathers did, so do they to this day. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In in today's devotional, I want to bring your attention to a particular thing that King Ahaz of Judah did that was very wicked, but it also speaks to us in our generation. But before I address that specifically, let me just give you the picture of what's happening at the time that this incident occurs. You'll remember that King Ahaz was the king of Judah, which was the southern kingdom, and he had been attacked by the king of Syria, who was from Damascus, who was in league or in a confederacy with the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And together, these two kings made an attack upon the kingdom of Judah, and there was a terrible slaughter. It says over 120,000 people died, and they took many, many captives. So it was a terrible blow to Judah, but Ahaz was a wicked king, and he was essentially reaping what he had sown in disobedience to the Lord. He didn't trust God, and he worshiped idols, so he had no help from the Lord. Yet, despite his disobedience, Isaiah the prophet was sent by the Lord to talk to him and to tell him a prophetic word that those two kings, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, who had attacked him, would eventually be totally destroyed, and not to worry about them again. But in spite of that great word from Isaiah the prophet, King Ahaz did not trust the word of the prophet, and he definitely did not trust the Lord. So what he did was he sent word to the king of Assyria, a man by the name of Tilgath-Pilneser, and he asked him to come and help him defeat the king of Syria. And for this help that he was going to receive, the king of Judah, Ahaz, took the treasures that were in the palace of the king and that were in the temple and sent them to the king of Assyria. So this king of Assyria accepted King Ahaz's offer to help him, and he marched his armies to Syria, captured the city of Damascus, which was the capital, and he killed the king of Syria, and he took many of the people in that city into captivity. So instead of trusting God, Ahaz put his trust in a man, the king of Assyria. And so because he was so grateful for his help, King Ahaz made a visit to Damascus, where he met the king of Assyria, who had plundered the place. And when the king of Judah, which is Ahaz, was in Damascus, he saw an altar, a heathen altar, an idolatrous altar that the Syrians used for their idol worship. And he had a sketch made of that altar, and then and gave the exact measurements of it, and then sent them back to Judah, to Jerusalem, to the priest. Now imagine, this is to the priest in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. The king, Ahaz, who's idolatrous himself, sends this drawing sketch back to the priest Urijah, who's in Jerusalem, and tells him to have an altar crafted that looks exactly like the one he came across while he was in Syria. Now, why would this man, the king of Judah, do such a bizarre and wicked thing when the temple of the Lord is in Jerusalem, which has the altar and the laver and the candlesticks and Holy of Holies in the holy place? Why would he do this? He gave this reason that we heard in 2 Chronicles 28, said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore I will sacrifice to them so that they'll help me. But the scripture goes on to say, they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So obviously this idea was ridiculous and idolatrous and completely against the Lord. But the king was Ahaz of Judah was not following God at all. But there's something that I want to bring to your attention about this specific incident. When Urijah the priest made that model of the altar, when Ahaz came back and looked at that altar and decided to offer sacrifices on it, it says that he took the bronze altar which was before the Lord and removed it from the front of the temple, from between his new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of his altar. Now, I want to make a comment to you about that. That may seem just very lacking in meaning, but it has great meaning, actually. The bronze altar was the place where the blood sacrifices were made. And that altar speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us, where his blood was shed for our sins, for our healing, for our complete cleansing and restoration. And that's the significance and the symbolism of the Old Testament bronze altar, this brazen altar in the temple of the Lord. And here we have King Ahaz removing it. Oh, we don't need this. And taking it out and putting it over to the side. And instead of this brazen altar where the blood sacrifices were to be made, which represents the sacrifice of Christ for our sins, he takes that out and he puts in his own design that he liked, that he saw in Syria, and he sets that up and he makes his own sacrifices on that altar. The point that I'm bringing to your attention is this: God has ordained a way to have restoration of relationship with the Lord himself. That was through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and people coming to the place of believing in Jesus' death and resurrection, accepting it as their very own, accepting the substitution that Christ made for us, placing our trust in Christ's work on the cross, and receiving new life through Christ. But so many people today have done exactly like King Ahaz. God has a way, very clear in Scripture. Jesus said about himself, the only way to the Father was through him, through Christ. That was the only way to the Father. And yet many people today in our generation have removed Christ, Christ's death and resurrection, the blood of Jesus, the need to accept the sacrifice of Christ, just taking it right out, and said any way to God is okay, there's many ways to God. And yet that is completely an idolatrous statement, because it's like we're making God into our own image. In Genesis, the scripture tells us that God said, "Let us make man in our image." But in modern day, there's many people making God into their image. So however they think God is, they project that on God. It's not true, but that's how they make God, in their own image, their own ideas about religion and about theology, making God into your own image. When King Ahaz removed that bronze altar, he put in his own idea of how to sacrifice, how to be religious, how to please God, how to get God's favor. He did it in his own effort, his own ideas. It was completely idolatrous, meaning he put something in the place of God. Anytime a person worships anything in the place of God, or worships in a way that's not God's design, it's idol worship or idolatry. And it's from the flesh, it's not from the Lord. What King Ahaz did when he removed the bronze altar was to make God in his own image, was to create his own way of worshiping that was completely not from the Lord. As if he could please God with an offering that he made on his own, dedicated on an altar that he made on his own, that had nothing to do with the reality and truth of God. Many people are doing that today. We can't remove Christ from our worship. We can't remove the blood of Jesus as being essential to knowing the Father and having reconciliation with the Father and having our own sins cleansed from our lives without putting our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the blood that he shed for us for our healing spirit, soul, and body. We'll never get away from that. And you cannot allow people who teach things that are contradictory to those basic principles of the Word of God and accept that as if it was truth. That's what King Ahaz was doing. He was setting up his own version of true worship. And that will never please God, and it will never draw you to God, and you will never know God when you do that or when you follow that kind of teaching. God has made a way. It is through Jesus Christ. That will never change. And whether people like it or not, it's the truth. Whether people follow it or not, it's the truth. Whether people say, oh, there's all different ways and we can know God through all these different ways, they will be very sadly surprised when they die and find out there was only one way, through the blood of Jesus, through the death and resurrection, and placing our trust in that finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. We can't remove the brazen altar. We can't remove the blood of Jesus. We can't remove Christ's sacrifice and still be able to find ourselves in true fellowship with God. It cannot be done. Ahaz tried it. It didn't work for him. He had a terrible end. He died quite destroyed in every possible way. His legacy of being one of the worst kings in Israel, in having served Judah, the southern kingdom, stands as a testimony against his idolatrous ways. And yet he was the son of Jotham, who was a good king. And if he did anything right or good for the kingdom of Judah, it was he produced a good king's son, whose name was Hezekiah, and we're about to hear about his reign quite soon. But I just want to say, as we close, keep Christ Jesus, his death, his resurrection, the power of all that he did for you, as a centerpiece of your faith, because it is the way that we are reconciled to God. There is no other way. We can't take the brazen altar, the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ out of our worship, because it's central to our gospel or good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you and give you a victorious week.